The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you this holy night. Amen. Palestinian-American poet Naomi Shihab Nye tells a lovely story that has caught me this season. She begins like this. Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal, after learning my flight had been detained 4 hours, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of gate 4A understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. That was actually the very gate from which Naomi's delayed flight would leave. And with a moment of pause, for, you know, these are complicated times, aren't they? Naomi returned to the gate and found an airport attendant standing with a woman in full traditional Palestinian dress, just like Naomi's grandma would wear. The woman was crying loudly. "Help, help," the attendant said. "Talk to her. We told her the flight was delayed, and she did this." Stooping down, Naomi spoke haltingly in Arabic with the woman. It turns out she thought her flight was canceled, not delayed, but canceled. And she was trying to get to El Paso for a major medical treatment the next day, and she was scared and she feared that she would not make it. But finally understanding, she calmed. She found her peace. So then, after she was calmer, together in Arabic and English, they called the woman's son, the one who'd be picking her up on the other end, and they let him know about the change of plans. And then, just for the fun of it, they called the other sons as well. And then they called Naomi's dad. And then they called some poets. That's what they do. And they laughed. And they told stories. And she patted my knee, Naomi says. And then they talked still more. Cookies emerged, traditional Palestinian cookies covered in powdered sugar, and all the other women sitting close by accepted the hospitality that she extended. More laughter and more stories and some apple juice compliments of the airlines, with two little ones passing it out around the space. Naomi writes, "I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. This is the world I want to live in." Dear friends in Christ, take a deep breath, a big, deep Christmas Eve breath. In the middle of so much hubbub, so much travel, so many plans and preparations and presents, so much beauty, so much expectation. In the middle of a partial government shutdown and talk of the border wall and politics aplenty, in the middle of revved up kids and weary parents and eating and cooking and eating some more, in the middle of lonely days and long nights, and uncertain diagnoses and that empty space at the table, let us breathe deeply the peace that was born so long ago for a weary world. That peace is born again this holy night in us, we pray. No one expected that birth of peace, not in the middle of so much. And to tell you the truth, I'm not sure we expect it either. But that's how God works. The arrival of the Christ child takes less than a verse for Luke to describe. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. That's all we get. That's all we get. Nothing about the delivery, no report of the welfare of the babe and the mother. Really, there's no hint that he's anything special at all. Did you notice that? In Luke's version of the story, he doesn't even get a name yet. Mary and Joseph don't say a single word. Do you sense the tension here? There is so much tension. The birth of this child who is utterly ordinary, no consequence to anyone who matters, is an event of world-shifting and peace-making significance. The irony only deepens when the scene shifts to the shepherds on the hillside. Mention shepherds around Bethlehem, and minds would have conjured ones who were dirty and who were lower class. Maybe they're thieves, maybe scoundrels, we're just not sure. Those are the shepherds. Don't you think it's significant that these shepherds are the first to hear the angel's song? The first to carry the cosmic message of good news, of great joy for all the people? And then go another step. Go another step. Imagine the scene. One heavenly angel would surely have been a sight, but imagine a multitude of heavenly hosts filling the sky, singing and shining. It's an army of angels. It's a peaceful army. A heavenly force spreading God's peace o'er all the weary world. Peace the prophets had foretold. Peace come in flesh as a baby, vulnerable, unheralded, unnamed. Peace God alone can give, peace that passes all understanding. Peace swaddled in rags and sleeping in an animal's feed box. On this holy night, in a weary world, peace is born again. The birth of Christ is God's peace breaking into our very lives. That's what happens this night. God's peace breaking right in, right where we are. The birth of Christ is God's peace breaking into our lives. And the best we do at defining peace is the Hebrew word shalom, the fullness, the vibrancy of life. But that peace doesn't come without telling or hearing the truth. And sometimes it's very hard truth. I'm scared, or I'm angry, or they're using again, or I need to make a change, or I need help, or I'm tired, or this just isn't how it's supposed to be. Hard truths. You can add your own hard truths, all of them. In a weary world, peace is born this Holy Night. And it keeps being born. We keep learning and practicing peace. Around our house, as kids grow, we hear often about the not-so-peaceful tensions in childhood friendships. She always makes me play what she wants to play. We never get to play what I want to play. Mm-hmm. Or they leave me out, or they hit me. And I suppose, like most parents, we struggle to know how to support our kids without, on the one hand, vilifying the other child, or on the other hand, assuming that our kids are provoking this behavior in others. A wise counselor in our family's life offered a beautiful way to help kids reframe this relationship drama. She said it like this: our friends are still learning. We are learning too. We're all still learning to be kind and to share and to play fair. We're all still learning. That caught my attention. We're all still learning. That's not a kid thing. It's a human thing. It's an everybody thing. We are all still learning how to live peacefully and faithfully, to be kind, to share, to play fair. And in a season like this, these holiday seasons, it's tempting to try and rush peace, or to claim it, or to capture it, or to be done learning about peace. Got that one covered. I'm done. It's tempting to make peace a superficial veneer, maybe to manufacture a little piece and go to Target and pick it up along with everything else on your list. It's tempting to let guilt drive our peace rather than having our peace driven by conviction or hope or that super deep need to be changed. It's tempting to allow fear to wedge its way right between us, setting concern against concern, culture against culture. Truth is, dear ones, truth is, like our children and their friends, we're still learning peace. Learning to trust a God who'd show up in flesh and in blood. Learning to trust Jesus and his radical way of loving and living. Learning to trust ourselves and our own yearning for this Christ child and the very peace that he brings. Naomi Shihab Nye, the Palestinian-American poet, finished her story saying, "I looked around the gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in." Beloved friends, our God, so long ago, looked around this weary world and said just that. This is the world I want to live in. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger. So now, in us, in the Albuquerque airport or wherever else we land, along every border that divides, peace is born this holy night. And now today, in the squeeze of a hand or the catch of an eye, in the courage of our souls and the honesty of our bodies, weary and all, peace is born this holy night. Peace is born tonight. May it be so. Amen.